I already have me Saturday morning. I almost said Wednesday, but I caught myself. Happy Saturday morning preview day. We are kind of, as the title implies here, we're just going to sit down. We're going to run through some of the graded stakes action, including for the in-house, instable Irish Aces start today. And we'll just have it drop real quick for you guys. It's not going to be a super long episode, but we figured, you know, we'll talk about them. They are big races. They're hard to get into for a reason. So we're going to just run through everything. And Jared, I know you're also kind of in a rush today. So how are you doing aside from being in a rush?
Life is good. Just got a bunch of buddies in town this weekend. We came in to watch basketball, watched the Cats play, and that ended terribly. So we've been trying to find some other things to do. And and then I got to go show a house this morning. So, you know, it's all good. Let's talk some horse racing.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and start with Irish Aces then. He is making a start at Fairgrounds. It's in the 10th race. It's going off at 5:36. It is the Mooney's Memorial Classic. It is a turf race over a mile and an eighth. And as we kind of mentioned in all of the emails that have been going out, this is a pretty tough race. There are going to be some salty, been there, done everything kind of horses in here. And that's really what it's shaping up to be. Like, nobody scratched, nothing's happened. So it's going to be another tough race for him.
Going to be a tough race, asking him to do something he hadn't done before, going a mile and an eighth, but I think I've been wanting to get him stretched out for a while now. I think like to get him stretched out even further, but looking forward to seeing what he can do. I think that long Fairground stretch is going to be good for him. He's coming in at 15-1. It is a really tough field. Really, really, really anxious to see how he responds to that Mark's down there. And he sent me a picture yesterday, said he looks like $1 million and seems to be ready to go. So just, want to see what, by far be the toughest race he's ever run. Ideally he'll be kind of sitting, a little bit off the pace and again, use that really long Fairground stretch to have a big strong kick coming home. He ran pretty well at the last out at Tampa. He was fifth, but he was only beaten 2.5 lengths, and he was gaining ground late despite that really, really short Tampa Bay stretch. So I think this one should set up pretty well for him. There's not just tons and tons of speed in the race. I think it's a lot of horses. There's a few that are going to want to be, a little closer to the lead, I think. But I don't think, I don't think there's going to be just a speed duel that's going to fall apart in front of him. There's going to be a lot. It's going to be loping along, and we're going to see who has the best finish. So, and I guess it's possible, depending on how the race shakes out, that he's not as far back as he is traditionally. So that wouldn't be a terrible thing, because I think most of the horses, other than the strong quality, that's the two horse Scary Barber's horse, Mark Cassie, that one's probably going to want to get out there on the lead. We can't let that one get too far out in front of us. I'm assuming nobody's going to want him to get too far out in front of us, but that's pretty much the lone speed in the race. So we'll just kind of see how it unfolds. But I don't think we want him coming from don't want him coming from the clouds, but would like to keep him in that mid pack area. And he's his buyer's last out was a 92, and that matches up pretty well. It's a little lower than some of the other horses that have been in the mid 90s. I think there's one that has run a triple digit buyer. There's a couple of running over the course of their careers, but nothing too much recently. So I think he fits in. Hopefully he can get a good trip, and Brian can have him in the clear running well late. So it should be a mad dash to the finish line for sure.
Well, and it's not that he's never seen that type of style before, because it's not the same competition, but in terms of like being closer to the front, he's done it before. He did it in his when he broke his mane at Indiana and left that field. He stalked from second for most of it. He pressured the pace, I'm pretty sure, actually, and left that field behind. So it's not that he's never seen that style before, so if he definitely decides that he's feeling his oats and he wants to try something completely different, it's not out of his wheelhouse to, you know, he wouldn't be out there and have no idea what to do with himself because he's been there before, so he's seen it.
Absolutely. And you know, and he looks like a horse, you know, and post race and all his gallop outs, you know, he's finishing really strong and he's galloping out really strong. So, you know, I don't think that the extra, you know, 16th of a mile is going to bother him at all.
No. Well, and I mean, with his style, it's not like he does much running until what?
Right. The last little bit tends to be where he gets going. So,
yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be we're going to learn a lot more about him today, and depending on how he does today, you know, that's going to dictate where we go next time. Obviously, Captain Obvious, I know, but if he runs like we want him to, like we hope he will, then big things are coming up, and that's what we want to, you know, that's the big thing today. So obviously, we want to win this race or be right in the mix. But how he runs today will dictate a lot of what happens next. We've got two options fairly divergent, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, very interesting. So let's just jump on to the second race on the last race of the cards, the Nightcap. But it is going to be the first of our Kentucky Derby point races for today that we'll talk about. I don't remember if it goes off before or after the Jeff Ruby, but this is the Louisiana Derby. It is the Nightcap over there at Fairgrounds. It goes off at 6:42. It is a 1 3/16. And a lot of these horses we've kind of seen all year at this point before. So it's not like there's a brand new smattering of competition. But just kind of looking over it, it feels like it's going to be a lot of the same. And I think even if you look at the morning line person kind of agrees. Because Track Phantom's back in here. And, I mean, he's never been off the board. He's really done, in terms of you know, being in the money, taking home a check, he's never really done anything wrong. So, and he's also shaping out to be one of the lone speeds in here, which I think is going to be pretty, pretty indicative of most of the card from what I've seen. It's either everybody in the front, everybody in the back, or there's that one horse that wants to be by themselves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think he's definitely going to be, he appears to be, in my mind, he's the class of this field. He's 3-1. You know, he's been hitting the upper 80s, 90 buyer figure. He's like you mentioned, he's, you know, six starts. He's never been off the board. He's got three wins, a second and a third. And, you know, winner of the Gun Runner, winner of the Comp, second in the Risen Star to Sierra Leone, who I don't believe is in this race today. He's not. And, you know, it looks like it's his race to win. Now, I do think that the common defense horse, McPeaks, not quite as accomplished. Whatever happened with him in the Rebel, you know, that was by far his best race. And he really took a step forward in that, it looks like. And he may not be on the lead, but he's definitely going to be pressing the lead. I think he's not going to let Track Phantom just sit out there on his own. We just have to see, you know, which is the real common defense. Is it the one that ran the first three races of his career with the low 70 buyer figures, or was it the horse that ran second in the Rebel and you know, put in a really, really nice race that day?
Yeah. I'm leaning more towards the other McPeak, right to his inside, the Real Men Violin. I think a sloppy track, I mean, when it's sloppy at the Fairgrounds, you're basically racing through soup. So
that is very true.
I think he just hated a wet surface. I really do, because nothing before it kind of suggests to me that he wanted like no part of the longer distance. And like Saratoga, he got washed off the turf and still did decently well, but it could have just been a situation of a turf horse racing against other turf horses on a wet track. But since he swapped over, his best buyer until he got to the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill, his best buyer was his maiden on over a sloppy Churchill track. And And then finally gets his fast track, which is the grade two. I almost said group. You can tell I'm in Europe mode. I'm in the grade two Kentucky Jockey Club, where he runs second behind Honor Marie, who's also back in this race. So I just think, and given all those situations, that it was his first race back on the year. It was sloppy. It was his first time going a mile and an eighth. And Sierra Leone and Track Phantom are really hard knocking horses. They distance themselves pretty well in a stretched out field here, and they slugged it out to the wire. So I think he probably needed that more from a fitness perspective than he did anything else. So he and like even it was his first time being anything higher than 10 or 11 to 1. He was 20 to 1, I think, in that race. So I think he needed that race, and I think he's going to take a pretty big step forward. And not just because I really like Mendelsohn, but because he's been consistent. Like, he's been on the board, in all six of his prior starts before that Risen Star, and he's been second four times. So I wonder. I'm hoping he breaks through his secunditis, and I'm hopeful, at least if he doesn't now, not here, that it as we kind of get closer to that first Saturday in May, he breaks secunditis at the right time.
I think he's got every shot to show that he's better than he showed in the Risen Star for sure. He's in addition to that really really mess of a track. It was his first race since November 25th, so it's certainly fair to say he needed a race. He's been putting together, looks like, just a really strong work tab, with his last one being, it looks like 59 and change here on the 16th of March down there. So he's definitely geared up, and he's ready. One that I am interested to see, and I think could benefit if we do get a contestant pace up front, and he won't be sitting too far back, but he's definitely going to be a little closer to mid pack, I think, and that's Catching Freedom. I think he stands to really benefit if we see him wing dinging on the front end. He's going to be back, several lengths, not going to be right up on the lead, and I think that he's got the potential to, again, really benefit from that long, long fairground stretch if he does get that a contested pace up in front of him.
And I think the last curiosity for me, for sure, is gonna be Agate Road. Like, it's interesting that you take a horse who's already a graded winner on the turf, and then like flop him onto the dirt for the Sam F. Davis, and they're like, you know what? We'll try the Derby Trail. And I'm like, all right. I mean, if it works, right? Like, you can't. Really, if it's working, you can't really say anything about it. But for me, that's very it's a very interesting potential to have another kind of like Catholic boy situation, where it's like a really accomplished, strong runner, graded winner on turf and the dirt. Like, I think sometimes those stallions go a little underrated. So the fact that there's a quality road colt out of a gemologist mare makes me quite happy, because I always want to see more of those, like I don't like the segregation of, well, this is only turf and this is only dirt. Like, at some point, you gotta leave the circle here.
Right. Well, he acquitted himself, well enough running second in the Sam F. Davis. And he definitely he runs, or at least in that race, and on his debut, which were both on the dirt. Now, the debut was an off the turf race that he ran on the dirt, but in both those races, he did run like he runs on the turf. He was way back and came flying at the end. So, again, certainly, if there's a speed duel in the front of him, he ought to benefit nicely. I mean, he's $650,000 yearling purchase by Quality Road. He's got every chance to be
A
a
good horse.
serious, serious dirt horse and serious horse in this race. So I think it certainly can be in the mix there late.
So let's bounce over to Turfway Park then.
Absolutely.
We will take a look through the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes. It is going to be the 12th race on a card. They have a big card for Turfway up there, and it's day racing, which is weird enough because Turfway is usually night racing under the lights. So,
They always do day racing on Jeff Ruby Day.
yep. So it's going off at 6:25. It's going to be a mile and an eighth. This is going to be on the synthetic, but it's got a $700,000 purse. It's one full lap of that nice big oval they have over there now, and they've assembled quite an interesting group. But I'm curious to see. I think as a lot of people, because Agate Road is cross-entered here. I'm curious to see how these, like what I see very traditionally dirt horses, how they do on a synthetic, and how this race ends up kind of being looked at in terms of derby potential. Because I think like Animal Kingdom did it, but he did it on the old Turfway
Right.
synthetic. So I'm curious to see how this new Turfway synthetic translates, especially for the horses where these are very clearly dirt horses and nothing, really else says otherwise. Like they just don't have any other figures that if they've tried another surface, there it's just not it's not a it's not a comparable figure. So
I
this is
mean,
going to be
you got you have
interesting.
endlessly coming in from Golden Gate. He's a he will. Was last he won last out in the El Camino Real Derby back in February. So he's got some accomplishments on this track. Now, is Agate, do you know, have you heard the, I don't, because I don't know, is Agate Road running here, is the Agate Road running in the fairgrounds, do you know that?
I'm not sure. I will have to, let me look really fast because I'm
They haven't
sure.
had scratches or anything
No,
yet,
they
so
haven't announced scratches
and
yet.
I haven't seen it, I haven't seen it, what he's doing. And he's been working at Palm, I guess that's Palm Meadows Down, Palm Beach Downs, so
I mean it
I don't know.
yeah, 'cause that's a quick shot to in either direction, really. So he's still cross-centered on Equibase. They have both of them up right now. Obviously, he's not going to be in two places at once.
Yeah, he's 7-2 here at Turfway. So, wouldn't be surprised if this is the one
Yeah,
where he
if
ends
this
up.
is where he ends up, because this is it's
Yep.
points and it's a lot easier race too. Which no disrespect to Endless Lair or any of his competitors, because it is, it's good that they're here. But on the same note, it is a little different though when you're taking on horses like a la Endlessly, a la, Dancing Grooms, Freedom Principle, who were $30,000-$60,000, and then you have Sierra, horses like Sierra Leone, who was a $2 million purchase, and I think there's like a $1.6 million purchase in there, and there's a $650,000, Arrogate somewhere, and it's like, so it is a little different. It's, not to say that pricing is everything, but we had a nice long chat with Mark about this, about how statistically speaking, you're more likely to get some kind of black type, graded black type with an expensive well-bred horse, but even if the statistics pretty much split out in between them. Which is not to say use that as your handicapping thing, because I mean, for handicapping, if you just like the name, please feel free. But
Right.
but yeah, no, so far I don't see scratches, so I guess we'll find out here in a bit when they start listing them. Because I mean he has to have arrived somewhere. And I have not seen any pictures of him schooling. We've been getting photos of schooling horses pretty consistently from Turfway, and I have not seen photos of him schooling.
Well,
So
yeah, it's an interesting surface now. We've seen a lot of turf horses that have not run super well over that
they have
track, which is
hated it.
unusual. Now it's not the case with all turf horses, but it certainly has happened. And Endlessly is one that has been quite good on the turf, and then also been good. Well, of course, that's back at Golden Gate, but he's been good on the turf and on that surface. But most of these are dirt horses, with the exception of Noted. He's most accomplished on the turf. And then I guess Freedom Principle has been probably better on the synthetics down at Gulfstream. So we'll see how that all shakes out. I don't. I mean, I think I feel I do feel like if Agate Road runs in this race, I think he's potentially to be has potential to be in very, very good shape in this race. I'll be interested to see how Seize the Gray does here. I know he's been getting a little bit of buzz here and there lately. I don't know that he's ready to step up here. He's never run on turf. He's never run on this surface. They're clearly just hoping to get some points, and they're taking a shot in this race, thinking that it might be a little bit weaker than some of the other Derby prep races.
Yeah, and it's D'Wayne Lucas, and D'Wayne, Lucas does not shy away from a challenge. So,
Not at all. No.
this is definitely something that'll be a keen source of interest to see kind of where he takes that one. I personally, just on, because I love a consistent horse, so I kind of find myself gravitating towards West Saratoga, who's on the very outside. The Exaggerator, which is interestingly enough that it's a gray Exaggerator, because you never seem to see those,
That's
especially with Curlins. Like gray Curlins, and then like Sons of Curlin, who produce grays, are very, very not like weird, but it's like it's you don't see it often at all. And he's been taking on some good horses. He won his fourth start. He ended up running into Timberlake, who's an absolute buzzsaw. And he's current, I think he's still the leader as of right now, on the Derby Point Trail. He ran into Bookham Dano in the Pasco, where Bookham Dano went to Saudi and ran an absolute buzzsaw of a race to miss by like a head, I think, or something like that, at the end of the Saudi Derby. So he's been facing really good horses, including Agate Road and No More Time in the Sam F. Davis down at Tampa. So he's been facing good horses. This is not going to be that kind of a field where he has to see the Saudi Derby runner up or multiple graded winners or anything like that. And I think to his to his benefit, he is an exaggerator. He out of an Uncle Mo mare. I think he has every reason to get better, and he's been kind of working by himself at Turfway. He posted that 1/6 furlong move, but he's been doing 4 furlongs. He second fastest of 11 on March the 16th and 49 and some change, and so he's been putting up consistent works. He's been putting on good numbers, so I think he has every reason to step forward at this point and to keep improving. And it's an $11,000 yearling. Like we all know how much we like our value purchases, and it doesn't get much more valuable than a $11,000 yearling who's made 325.
That's
So
pretty solid work.
yeah, that's a nice return on your investment there. So I'll be very interested to see how he does, because he is one of the more seasoned horses in this field with 9 starts at this point. But he's again, he's been on the board in 7 of them, so that's respectable for any horse, especially a young one. Because
Oh, absolutely.
I think with we talk about it every year, I think with the crapshoot that the Derby ends up being, especially for those who only have like 2 or 3 races going into it and are just brilliant. And I think people find out very quickly that brilliance doesn't mean much in a 20 horse field if you do not get out of that gate the first one out, and or if you get slammed or something happens, and your horse, who's usually a front runner, finds himself in 15th. So it's like
Right.
I think the year of the seasoned horse is going to be probably this year again, and I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Oh
Well,
man.
I don't really see anything else in here that just makes me super excited. Possibly Lucky Jeremy, if you want to take maybe look at a little bit of a price. Looking at Lucky can get you, can get you some good horses here and there, and I think they can run a little bit on any about any surface. So if you're looking for a shot, looking for maybe a little better price, he's running well, training well. This is he's definitely stepping up in competition, coming in from New Mexico. I mean, Bill Murray's a hell of a trainer, and certainly wouldn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form to see him be out there on the lead early. And if it's playing for, as a fast track today, because that's another problem with Turfway, you never know which what you're going to get night in, night out. Sometimes they're coming from the clouds, and other times they're it's speed all day long. So, but who
Yeah.
knows what we're going to see this afternoon? And it's probably going to play a little bit differently tonight. It's going to be a little bit warmer. Going to be sun shining on it. Well, maybe
It's
it's
raining. Well, it's raining at my house right
been
now, and I'm a little
gotcha.
closer to Turfway than you are, so.
Yeah. So yeah, who knows what we're going to see up there
Yeah.
today? But that's just one that kind of looked at me
Yeah.
like if you want to do take a look at a little better price, that one wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Well, and it's very interesting to look that looking at Lucky has had something of a resurgence because for a while he just kind of disappeared and nobody really even talked about him. Like he never like he had consistent runners, but like not to the extent that you seem to see them now, where it's like every other horse for at least it's felt this way, every other horse lately has been like a looking at Lucky winning something. So it's like it's I enjoy seeing it. I definitely do. I was a very big looking at Lucky It fan in his racing years. So I really enjoy the fact that he's having something of a resurgence and that people kind of are starting to remember that some of these older stallions exist again and they're willing to take a they're willing to start sending some of these better mares and these better race horse producing mares to these stallions that sometimes kind of get forgotten in favor of the new and the shiny. So I'm very happy to see
Yep.
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
All right, Patty.
that's it. That'll hash out our the three. I mean, there's a lot of graded racing today, but those are going to be hashing out the three that we in particular will be keeping an eye on. So I know, Jared, you gotta go. So I will wrap this quickly. So once again, everybody, thank you for tuning in for just our quick little Saturday preview. We're on all of our social medias. It's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you're following us over there. Make sure that you're following and subscribe to the YouTube. Hit the bell to get the notifications. And good luck, everybody. If you're wagering tonight, good luck. If you have a horse in the race, good luck to you. And as I remind everybody on Wednesday, I'll remind you on Saturday, make good choices. The podcast is out.